It's sometimes sports. It's sometimes pop culture. It's a lot of the time random. It's Press Row with David and Jay on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Dilly dilly.
Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there has a fantastic Friday and that you and your loved ones have a wonderful weekend as well. Well, it is always a pleasure to welcome back into Press Row Tim Kirchen, who does a wonderful job with ESPN covering baseball. Tim, thank you so much for joining us here in Chattanooga again. How are you today?
I'm well, fellas. How you doing?
We have been doing great. Thank you again. If I had to ask Tim, with the NL East, do you find the NL East now, with what has happened this offseason, do you find it the most intriguing division in baseball, the best division in baseball, or maybe even both?
I think the best division is the National League Central, because there's no bad teams in the Central. The Reds are much better. The Pirates are better than people think. And those three teams at the top, the Cubs, the Brewers, and the Cardinals, all have a chance to go to the playoffs for me. So to me, that's the best division. But the NL East is the most intriguing one, because somebody's going to get picked fourth in that division, and that fourth-place team could easily win the division. That's how evenly matched that division is. I believe the Mets are much better. I think the Braves are good. I think the Phillies are demonstrably better than they were last year. And I think the Nationals are better even without Bryce Harper, even though that's not the point. They added so many pieces, bullpen, Patrick Corbin, catching, second base. They're really upgraded. So that's going to be one of the things I really am not looking forward to, is making those stupid predictions at the beginning of the year and figuring out who I'm going to pick fourth in the NL East.
Do you have and we won't hold you to it, but right now, if you had to put a nickel on it, who would be your NL East favorite?
The answer is I have no idea. I still need to see a few teams. I'm going to make the Nationals as the favorite. The Phillies, to repeat, are right there. It's impossible not to love where the Braves are. And again, if the Mets starting pitching stays healthy, that team could be really good too. But I'll go with the Nationals at the moment, with the understanding I can change my mind in about an hour, depending on how things go.
And Tim, it's wild that we're having this kind of conversation, because this was a division that, as you mentioned, the Braves, I mean, they won this thing going away at the end of last year. But there are a lot of, I mean, we get a lot of Braves calls, and there are a lot of folks that have been upset with this offseason. I mean, yes, Josh Donaldson and McCann have joined the team. They spent money on them, but I think a lot of Braves fans were wanting pitching. I mean, were you disappointed in the Braves offseason?
Well, I thought they'd get another starting pitcher, and maybe they still will. I thought they would upgrade their bullpen, and maybe they still will. Maybe they'll end up with Craig Kimbrel. I don't even know anymore. I'm so lost on this free agent situation. It's really hard to read. I think they could really use Dallas Keuchel, another veteran guy. But as long as the price tags are too high on both those guys, you can't blame the Braves for not going there. If those prices come down, I think the Braves could get involved in one or the other, and I think it would be very helpful because, again, as great as they played last year, to make another giant step forward or even a positive step forward after a huge leap like that, history tells us that's hard to do, so they're up against that.
Tim, you've touched on the NL East and the NL Central. If I just asked you a broad National League picture, who do you like out of the NL, and does it start with the Dodgers, who have won the last two times, gotten to the World Series the last 2 years?
Yeah, I think it starts with the Dodgers, but I count 9 teams in a very competitive National League that actually have a chance to go to the World Series. Because as good as the Dodgers are, they're not a dominant team. They're not like the Red Sox or the Yankees or the Astros in the American League. So I think that's what makes the National League so good right now, is there are so many teams not only in for a playoff spot, but in for a World Series spot. And you can't say that about the American League. So that's the beauty of the National League. No great teams, but a bunch of really good teams.
You're listening to Tim Kirchen, does a great job covering baseball for ESPN. You're listening to Tim here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Tim, now that we know the numbers and the locale of Bryce Harper, I have two quick questions for you. First, are you happy that you get to leave Clearwater?
Yeah, I spent 6 days there. I love Clearwater. I love being at any camp, but I have 30 teams to see in spring training, and now I'm way behind because I had to spend 6 days in Clearwater on and off. So no sympathy needed, no bitterness involved, but if I'm going to see all 30, I can't spend 6 days in one camp, and that's what I did, waiting for Bryce Harper to show up.
Well, I thought you were just going to put down roots there and bring the whole family in, to be quite honest. But if we know the numbers for Bryce Harper and they're big, what does Mike Trout get in 2 years?
Well, he's getting way more than Bryce Harper, and I love Bryce Harper, but Mike Trout is – definitely better than Bryce Harper, and will definitely get it. Will start at $400 million, and I think it will go up from there depending on who's involved and how free agency looks and how healthy he is. And he's always healthy 2 years from now. I think he's going to change the way we look at free agency again because his track record is unprecedented almost for an active player. His Mickey Mantle comes back to life, and there is nothing not to like about him. So I would say we start at $400 million and go from there.
The Atlantic League, I saw the report today that they are going to experiment with a whole lot of rule changes this year. It's an independent minor league, and they have, for the last 15, 20 years, agreed to be a testing ground. One of those includes the robo, whatever you want to call it, strike zone. Of all those changes, Tim, which one do you think Major League Baseball is the most hopeful that it will be embraced?
Well, someday we're going to have a robotic strike zone, and I'm not in favor of it. I'm a big umpire guy. I'm definitely in favor of the human element. I think umpires do a way better job and a very difficult job than people think, and I think when we turn this over to a computer – that's not a good thing. But that's something that is coming in Major League Baseball. Pitch clock is coming. None of this is coming this year. We need to really examine whether this stuff works. But I love that the Atlantic League is trying stuff like this because we need to find out if this stuff works on the minor league or the independent league level before we know if it's ever going to work on the big league level.
David and I, Tim, both, we've spent majority of our time as newspaper writers just the same way you came up. One of my all-time heroes and idols, Dan Jenkins, died last night. I was curious, when you were growing up and getting started, who did you read on a regular basis and who was kind of your idol?
Well, when I was growing up, Shirley Povich wrote for the Washington Post, and he was a brilliant baseball writer, especially, even though he covered other sports. And when I was a young man growing up loving baseball, he was the guy that I read more than anyone. And I got to know him, of course, because he wrote until his early 90s. So I got to know him as a baseball writer. We were covering the same events a couple times, and I can't even begin to tell you what a thrill that was to be able to sit next to or near Shirley Povich in the press box and cover the same game that he was covering, knowing that this guy covered Walter Johnson and Babe Ruth as a baseball writer.
You're listening to Tim Kirchen, does a great job covering baseball for ESPN. You're listening to Tim here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. You talked about Harper, Tim, but the Machado deal, when you think about the money and the years that San Diego has spent, I know he's got an out after five, the team doesn't, but then you read where the addition of Machado increases the Padres' win total, like 1.5 or 2 wins. What did you think of that whole deal?
Well, he had a number in mind, $300 million, and the only team that I can tell that got there were the Padres, and I think that was important to him. But I think it was also important that he wanted to go someplace where they're building something, and he sensed that it's going to be something really good. Padres have a great farm system. We'll see if this works, but I don't see if this is how this is going to work as far as being a contender for the next 2 or 3 years. They have to wait for the great young catcher Mejia to come along and Fernando Tatis, of course, at shortstop. And those things take time. So I think we really need to examine this contract 3 years from now to see where the club is, see where Machado is. And before then, I think, there's still going to be some lean days in San Diego because that team just isn't ready to contend yet.
And, Tim, I mean, we read the other day about the Baseball Tonight situation. How does that affect? What will your season be like this year, maybe that's been different from the past?
Well, there really is no difference. That was a mistake in reporting. We still have Baseball Tonight every Sunday night. I'm on that every Sunday night. I do games from the booth every Monday night, sometimes Monday and or Wednesday night. I'm doing a million things baseball-wise with SportsCenter every day, and I write all the time. So any thought that baseball at ESPN has taken a back seat to anything last year or the year before, it's just not true. I just wish we had Baseball Tonight 7 nights a week like we used to when I was there 22 years ago. But those days are not happening at the moment, but there's still plenty of baseball on ESPN.
All right, that's good to hear, and I can't believe there's been some misreporting out there. All right, Tim, you know when we have you, we love to close with the rapid fire. Ready to play?
Okay.
All right, give me a team that that nobody's talking about, didn't make the playoffs last year, that you really like to be a threat to maybe get to a league championship series or even the World Series.
Well, I don't see that team, but the Twins are way better than they were last year. I just saw them 2 days in a row. I like what I saw there, but they're not a World Series team, but maybe a playoff team.
Tim, you've become quite synonymous and famous with the Looks Like game on the Levitard Show. I have never heard Tim Kirchen looks like. Have you?
Yeah, unfortunately, somebody sent in Tim Kirchen looks like a jockey who rides a horse called Can of Corn, owned by Scott Van Pelt.
That's a good one. All right, your favorite manager to interview right now?
Oh, Terry Francona. Tito is the funniest, best guy, the funniest guy I've ever met in uniform, understands our job better than anyone. He'll always be my favorite manager.
What is your second favorite sport?
Oh, basketball. I love basketball. I can palm a basketball with both hands.
All right, give me an MVP candidate nobody's talking about right now.
Oh, boy. Well, I know Ronald Acuna, everyone's still talking about him, but if he's as good as everybody says he is, like he was last year and like he showed up this spring, it's hard to win the Rookie of the Year and the MVP back-to-back, but I think we have to consider him.
Great job playing to our audience there, Tim. Wonderful.
It's like it's like it's not your first time doing this, Tim.
When I said I can palm a basketball with both hands, I should add, it does me no good that I'm 5'5" and 142 pounds palming a basketball with both hands.
All right. And if Mike Trout was mad at you, what would you do at 5'5", 142 pounds?
Well, I would see how far he could pick me up and throw me from home plate. My guess is I would land somewhere on the outfield grass.
Along those lines, Tim, is Altuve one of the eye-to-eye players you've ever had, or is there someone you've interviewed baseball-wise that's been smaller than him?
He's an eye-to-eye guy. I'm 5'5". He's maybe 5'5 and a half. He weighs about 20 pounds more than I do. But to me, he symbolizes how great baseball is. There's someone that short and that small who's that good. One of the great beauties of the game.
Tim, thank you so much for your time. And somewhere Freddie Patek is wondering why you had forgotten his glorious memory with the Royals.
No. I didn't forget. He's 5'4", but I didn't cover him on a daily basis.
Okay.
But
okay.
I know him well, and I'm taller than him, which is a miracle. He hit 3 homers in a game at Fenway Park. I can promise you I did not.
Tim, listen, great stuff as always. Thanks again for all that you do, and we always appreciate it when you join us here in Chattanooga on Press Row.
Okay, guys, see you.
All righty, Tim Kirchen, the ESPN baseball analyst, joining us. 648-1051 is the number. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.